The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Monday morning, the 16th of November 2020 at 4 minutes past nine. We are only delighted to be with you till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie. That was a hectic week last week, I can assure you, in all things Tubbsville. But thanks to Oliver for sitting in again, but on Friday morning. But I must say I enjoyed Callan's kicks from Friday evening, which I heard on Saturday on my walk. Am I constitutional now that I'm in my 90s? And I was I was chuckling to myself as I listened to his show, walking along the pier by the sea, and really having a hearty chuckle. And I thought, people look at me as I walk down the pier and say, that poor fella, look at him, absolutely demented. Look at him laughing into his sleeve like a fool. And I suppose it's better to see me laughing than crying. It'd be a bit grim, wouldn't it? But it was very funny. So if you haven't listened to Callan's Kicks from last week, be sure to download it because it's great. It's just on point, as always. So how was your week? Everyone okay? I went down to, it's strange, because I had the morning off on Friday, I had to go down and to buy some stamps at the local post office. And because I was thinking, I'm getting ahead of myself for Christmas and cards and so on. Nobody told me. The post office is shut down. And I looked and saw the shutter down, and I always went there. And there were always nice people behind the counter. And it was one of those strangely old-fashioned post offices which had the hatch, right, with three people behind. Always pay your license fee. I mean, pay your, get your stamps, do your passport, you know, stuff. That's the kind of thing. I'm not going to lie to you and say I was there every weekend. I wasn't. But I was there a fair bit. I'm a big fan of the post office. It always reminds me of the buildings and loan. It's a wonderful life. Kind of kinder than the banks, if you know what I mean. A bit more personal. And they seem to, the post office is still going. I know a lot of them are closed down around the place, but the ones that are still there are, they're hubs, aren't they? I mean, that's what I found. I would find myself talking to neighbours I hadn't seen for 1,000 years or strangers. You find yourself in the queue. You couldn't but talk to them. And then there was a kind of half a bit of a shop, more like a tuck shop in a school with Mars bars and fries, chocolate, and kind of picnic bar. The bars you just couldn't quite get anymore anywhere else. And a few bags of Fox's Glacier fruits behind, and mints, and maybe yellow bonbons and things that you don't see too much anymore because they've all gone blue anyway. And the man behind the counter was behind the sweet shop counter. He got papers and sweets. It's also, but it turns out that very nice, like an absolute gentleman with a lovely way about him. Turns out he's Ronan Keating's dad in the local post office. Yeah, and a nicer man you couldn't meet. So I never got to say goodbye to the lady who ran the post office. There was a woman who ran it for 1,000 years called Maura, and I wish her well. But Mr. Keating, I wish him well. There's one, Karen, saying Maura in the post office was the kindest, most patient lady, big loss to the village. Now, I know it's not because of me and where I live and everything. What I'm saying is I'm talking about the post office's importance in every village, in every town around the country. And the ones that are still there, and they are in plentiful supply, are just wonderful. I'm a fan of the post office. That's all. I went down to get my stamps and did it. Now, thankfully, the Hewitts across the road were selling also chocolate magazines and papers. I love a news agent. They're pretty much hard to come by nowadays. And sure enough, they had the stamps required. National or international? Both, please. Two sets. Four each. Four is loads. I've many friends in one hand. And living abroad, same again. So, 8 stamps for now. We'll see where that goes. The National Gallery of Ireland cards are beautiful for Christmas, by the way, as are most of the cards that I got sent in from around the country, people who are making them locally, from people who are making them at home, people who are working on a new world order at home by producing Christmas cards, and of course the charity Christmas cards. And we're getting stuck into Vincent de Paul season now. I recorded some voiceover for the for their Christmas annual appeal last week. We'll be hearing those ads and seeing those ads on TV soon. So be sure to remember them, svp.ie. And it's getting into the season now. There's a lovely scent around the place of cinnamon. and oranges. All the nice things. That's exactly, says the text, why people in rural Ireland have been campaigning to keep their post offices open. Oh, I know that. I'm just saying that it's all over the place, and I know how great they are, and when they go, it's how sad it is. I find it quite unsettling, says the text, when people walk towards me chatting and laughing, apparently to themselves, but of course they're on their phones, and it's unsettling. Yeah, they're on the headphones, roaring, laughing at something else entirely. I don't know. One thing I did notice a lot over the weekend when I was on, I did quite a lot of walking this week. I watched a lot of TV, did a lot of walking, and pretty much talked to no human beings at all for 3 days. But one of the things I noticed was people walking along, you know, as a couple. Now, it could be father and son, it could be husband and wife, it doesn't matter damn really, but as a couple, with one of them with their headphones in. So what? That's unusual. Is that their way of saying we're going for a walk, but the match is on, and we'll compromise by letting me listen to Mayo win, congratulations, and you can enjoy the sea, and we don't have to talk to each other because we're happy in our relative silence. Would that be it? I'm not sure. Conan O'Brien, he's one of the funniest people, I think, on TV, and he was a guest on The Late Late Show on Friday, and I was very happy to meet him, and thankfully it worked out because he met and exceeded my expectations, which I was very happy about, because I listen to his podcasts often when I'm walking along, because that's also very funny. And he talks to his kind of podcast team in the way that sometimes I might talk to my friends here on the radio, where in other words, they abuse him a lot and they give him grief and they mock him and they reduce him constantly. And kind of belittling experience ultimately, and he's only kind back to them. I mean, and that's why he's mystified as to, obviously he's a monster, and it's exactly what we do here. But I recognise the relationship, if you like, and it makes me smile. Anyway, he was on the show, and halfway through, he was talking about Ireland, obviously, and all that. He did a DNA test. He's 100% Irish, and all this. And he wrote for The Simpsons, and he's a huge success story, obviously, in the States. But halfway through our interview, he talked about an Irish expression I hadn't heard of, but heaps and heaps of you have heard of. Here's what happened.
Growing up, if one of us said something that my mother thought was a little bit, you know, us being wise guys, a phrase she would use, and I've never found anyone in Ireland to tell me where this comes from, but she would say, "You're being a bold stump." And I thought that must be an old farmer's term for a stump that they couldn't get out of the field very easily. I mean, I've asked everybody. I asked Seamus Heaney, every Irish expert I could, have you heard of bold stump?
The bowl stump or the bowel stump? Thank you to Pauline Keegan, who wrote into us having seen that and said that what he was saying, it refers to a boy between 7 and 10, she says, quite specifically, who has misbehaved, being chastised by his mother, and a sally rod while you're at it. The bowel stump was rarely used to describe a girl, except if she was particularly bad. And this knowledge is from a child of the 1950s who came from a very happy home. Now, you can pass that on to Conan if you're talking to him. Thank you also to Dennis O'Leary in Vickerstown, who says that Conan O'Brien said he couldn't find out about the bowel stump. My mother-in-law often used it. She came from Ballyvourney in Cork, and he said that my mother was O'Riordan, which is generally a Cork name. So could it be a Cork thing? I'm not sure, but it certainly wasn't a Dublin thing when I was growing up. But now we know. It's just a brat, I think, is probably the best way to describe it. Speaking of the post offices, Katie Holloway was on to say, I'm currently living in London and I haven't been able to see my family as much as normal due to all the current craziness. The other week, I sent a card to my granny and she has been having a hard time recently and being separated from all her 10 grandchildren hasn't helped. So my granny lives in the Elms, E-L-M-S, the Elms in Athlone, obviously. But the card landed in the Elms in Blackrock in Dublin, which I know only too well. I pass it by every day. The lovely couple who received it went on to forward it back to my granny with a note explaining what happened. And it seems, says Katie, like such a simple thing, but the note made her day and mine. So if they're listening, we wanted to say thank you to Holly and Dermot in the Elms in Blackrock for sending my granny, Granny Pat, her card in the Elms in Athlone. It meant more than you know. What a nice thing to do. I like that. That's a nice thing to do. I ramble around buying stamps and chatting to people. I met two lovely people, and one of them, I hope she doesn't mind me mentioning her, but she was so nice. We got into full chats about, I just said, how's it going? How's the world? And she she kind of looked going, what? How did I land with this one? But she's great. Anyway, her second name was Trodden. Trodden. And I said, did you have all your life? She goes, yeah, all my life I've been got the Down. What's your first name? Down? No. Anyway, I won't give your first name, but even though probably everyone will know who you are, but you were lovely to meet, and you let me go into the shop first, even though I felt that was completely wrong because I'm old fashioned. But nevertheless, you said you seemed to think I was in a hurry. Most people do. But then I met this other guy who was buying flowers from Joe and the florist, and I said, Joe, lash them up for me. Rack up the flowers, the same bunch pretty much every couple of weeks. I buy the flowers from him. Do you want ribbons? I said, nothing. They're going straight from here to the kitchen. So I believe flowers bring beautiful colour and joy to your kitchen, so I make sure I freshen them up every couple of weeks. That's it. So I said, Joe, set them up, Joe, as Frank would have said once, about much more interesting service from the bar. And Joe sets them up, and this other man starts coming towards you. He's using a stick. He looked about 73, 4, thereabouts. And I said, how are you? And they must have all thought that the man's completely out of it. I said, he said, great, great. I'm getting flowers. He said, it's a lovely thing to do, isn't it? He said, yeah. He said, I used to live in Italy years and years ago, and he used to get flowers sent over. All this got into a lovely conversation. He's living in a place for older people nearby, and the isolation is kicking in, and it's a bit of a chore. But he gets out and gets walking and meets people, strange people like myself. And he said, yeah, I'll be 96 next week. I said, you'll be what? 96? I mean, he looked 20 years younger than that, but his name is John. It's unlikely he'll be listening to us, but if he is, John, it was real nice to meet you. And as I said to you when we left, I hope we meet again, because I think we'd have good things to say, good chats to have. Kat was on saying, I've heard the stump thing all right, but another one of my mum's favourites was to call us hand-stitched. You hand-stitched such and such, as in you're so bad that you're customised. Well, that's a new one on me. My grandmother in Mayo used to use the phrase bowl stump, probably around 40s and 50s. According to my mother this weekend, all the best Dublin listeners about to let 29 girls into class, catching a bit of you in the classroom before they descend. Oh, so you're teaching and they're about to land. Good luck with that. What about the Leaving Certers who are starting? Is it today? The Leaving Cert, that's a bit of a commitment. Well done to them. The Irish Examiner saying the Leaving Cert exams, which were cancelled for thousands of students, are set to begin today. Almost 3,000. Which I think they said was about 4% of all of the Leaving Cert students of the class of 2020. They're going to do exams on Saturdays and Sundays. These are the very committed. These are determined young people. And the department reckon that it'll act as some class of a test run for the Leaving Cert 2021. So good luck to everybody, really. I hope it all works out very nicely. The Pogues and Kirsty MacColl's Fairy Tale of New York was up, in terms of downloading last week, up 96.6%. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, no doubt about it. Now, I watched the documentary I spoke about last week called De Gaulle in Erin, about Charles de Gaulle coming to Sneem and also to Cashel House in beautiful Connemara. It was gorgeous. It was about an hour yesterday by the fire watching that. That was an absolutely beautiful documentary. Whoever put that together, good on you. And there's a great documentary. Can you just check? Is it tonight? The one on Bloody Sunday. I think it's tonight on RT at 9:35. That one with Mary Coleman's in there and William Murphy's in there, Paul Rouse, and some great heads I've known from history days. They're all excellent and contributors. Great footage, well put together. Michael Foley and everyone else involved in that. It's the Bloody Sunday documentary. Very, very good. And of course, it's the 100th anniversary. And we featured some of the artefacts as well on Friday night. Okay, also, what else did I watch? I watched The Imitation Game. You've seen that with Benedict Cumberbatch as Alan Turing and the Enigma Code, breaking the Enigma Code. That was good, a little slow. Could do with half an hour chopped off it, but still very easy on the head and not a bad film at all. Desperately sad story, of course, Alan Turing. Persecuted for the fact that he was a gay man. It was just desperately sad, but despite his service to his nation, but there you are, and different times. Hopefully we've moved on significantly. Think of the smell of cinnamon to one who is allergic to it. Oh God, I'd hate that. Imagine being allergic to cinnamon. How could you get out for 3 months in 2020 in a pandemic? I'll hibernate till January. Okay, we'll see you in January. The post office in Care in County Tipperary is my saviour, says Linda, who says that, especially during lockdown, there's nothing nicer than receiving or sending a newsy letter or card to friends and family. Beats texts and emails every time. Basildon Bond rules. Russ Abbott, British comedian, 80s. used to do a James Bond figure called Basildon Bond. That's what just came to mind there when I saw that. I heard my granny saying Bow Stumps, it's only McAteer, when we were little. She was from Raffaut in County Donegal. Thanks for bringing me back to those times. Lovely to remember again. 51551 is the text number. It looks like Joe Biden is going to has invited the chieftains to play at his inauguration, which is a good call. And Paddy Maloney said, yeah, he's up for that. But he'd only, if he can't go over for COVID reasons, at that point in March, they'll do a virtual gig. But with any luck, there'll be a trip over in March. So let's see how that all works out. Okay, lots to do, including one of my favourite, new favourite authors, Ragnar Jonasson from Iceland. I've been harping on about him for some time now, and he's going to join us live from Iceland this morning. But it's 9:20. We are open for business. Okay, that's lovely. Starts the show musically at least. Why do fools fall in love? 51551 is the text number. Bloody Sunday 1920 is on tonight at 9:35. Watch it, or at the very least record it. It's one for the history teachers out there, if nothing else, or those who are broadly interested. I think I'll talk about this child with COVID anxiety this morning, that email that came in over the weekend saying, I don't know where to start with this really, or why I felt I needed to tell you this, but you might bring it to light, so I'm happy to do that. I'm a mother of a 12-year-old boy, and he's now suffering from awful anxiety and depression due to COVID-19 restrictions. Back in February, he was a happy little boy. He loved school, couldn't wait to celebrate his last year in primary. The last school trip, saying goodbye to all the teachers and classmates, graduating, which he has not done, and preparing to transition into secondary. This was his year, as he said. But thankfully, he made his confirmation just before it all went wrong. And then we were told schools were closing and we had to keep our kids inside their homes and because of the spreading of COVID-19. So that's what I did. I kept my happy, funny, caring and lovable child at home to keep him safe, as we were told. We went for the odd walk together to get out for exercise and air. The only way he spoke to his friends was through his Xbox game. It was the only thing that kept him going at the time. And then came secondary school. He was happy to go, or so we all thought. And he showed no signs of wanting to stay at home, really, not to go, until anxiety set in more. And he went to his new school for 5 days, and he hasn't gone back ever since. Every morning is a battle to motivate him. He feels sick. He cries a lot, says he can't go to school. Anxiety has taken him over so much so that he's not the same child. He wants to go to school, but he's scared of it all. I kept my son home because the government told us to, and to protect him. And even though we saw other kids playing outside when they shouldn't have been, I still kept my son inside. I'm lucky the new school is so supportive in all of this, and they're working with me to get my son to school. And yet he won't leave the house. He had gotten so used to staying in during these months that he doesn't want to go out anymore. It's so heartbreaking looking at him every day when he is so unhappy and he knows he's losing out on his education. He's such a bright kid, always good in school and always had great school reports. But now, because of anxiety, he feels stupid, not liked and useless. These are his words. I just want people to know that it has affected young children in education, not just college goers, which I'm hearing a lot about. I keep seeing programs of happy children going to school after lockdown, but not the other side of it, the sadness, the anxiety, the depression. I was wondering if you could do a piece on your show about children who have developed mental health issues because of COVID, the lockdown and isolation. I feel they're forgotten about. I'm sorry to ramble on. I don't do things like this. I usually let things go over my head, but I have to say it. So thank you for reading it from Sarah. I have no doubt at all that this is one of many, 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 many kids, and some of whom are happy to talk about it and many of whom are not at all. And these are kind of like little micro struggles in the world, but actually are massive mountains for you personally to climb. And it's desperate. There's nothing sadder or more awful than seeing a child unhappy for any reason, but particularly school. The relationship between a child and school is so important. It's there every day. Sometimes they see a teacher more than they might even see a parent or a friend. So you're at the end of your tether, and that's okay. Look, what you did to write that email to us, that's big. That's important. That's acknowledgement. And that's, I think that's probably part one in this puzzle that you're going to fix. You've emptied the jigsaw onto the ground. At least you opened the box. And now we need to put it together. So anyone who's been down this road, let's hear from you. 51551 or email ryan@rte.ie. And we'll try and, as I say, put that puzzle together for you piece by piece. It's 9:26, back in a moment.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
I was telling my brother that I had been interviewing Michael Parkinson, myself, and we had met Parky for a pint, as it happens, my brother included, and I was saying to Michael Bublé, because Parky, when you watch the trip with Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon, they always slag Parky for calling Michael Bublé. And it's funny because it's kind of the way he here, I'll stop. This is them doing it.
Michael Bublé.
Parkinson loves him.
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé.
Real music.
Real music.
Oh, wonderful. My guest today is Steve Coogan. Steve, I mean, imagine working with Tom Cruise as he does in Mission Impossible. Yes. I mean, imagine working with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, well, I have worked with Tom Cruise. I worked on Tropic Thunder.
Yes, you died in the first 10 minutes, Steve.
Yeah. Yes,
you died in the first 10 minutes.
I died in the first 10 minutes.
I felt you died in the first 5 minutes, in all honesty, but that's just my view. We'll come back to Steve. Here's Michael Bublé and a new record.
Anyway, I just thought I'd share that little 30 seconds of crazy with you. And while I'm at it, I came across something. I don't know where it came from, so forgive me if I'm stealing somebody else's idea or somebody might have sent me something and said, you like this. But this is, you know, Dave Brubeck, Take Five, that lovely piece of jazz. Now, I'm not going to play too much of this, but somebody somewhere said, if you take Dave Brubeck's Take Five and add in the Stranglers' Golden Brown, you've got kind of a similar, if not the same, song when you put them together cleverly. They did there. It's good. If you want to hear the whole thing, you'll find it online somewhere. Dave Brubeck and Stranglers. Take Five, Golden Brown. Like that. Right then, you're busy on text, so let's see what you have to say. My dad always used the phrase bow stump, says Mary Dunworth, when we were children in Newcastle West. My brother in Tralee still uses the term. My grandmother used the phrase, you are a limb of the divil, which with a West Limerick accent, if we misbehaved. Okay. Went to the post office at Watch House Cross, says John Fielding in Partine in County Clare. And Moira's Limerick last week to post a parcel to Canada. The lady, Marion, behind the counter saved me €16 on the cost by making me aware of the option of buying an on-post box product. She transferred the contents from my parcel and readdressed the on-post box so efficiently and in double jig time. A lovely, caring, efficient lady who is a credit to the post office service. You're right, though. There's a personal touch about the post office. So thanks to Marion and best wishes to you and your team. Thank you, John. I'll be sure not to pass that on, though. I have three daughters, says a text. Eldest has just started first year. The exact same story here. This is with anxiety and kids. Monday mornings, I can see the fear in their eyes. They are anxious leaving home. They're not happy. Happy, excited girls that they used to be. So many new rules and the fear of the virus, they don't understand. This is so sad because I'm hearing so many positive stories that I didn't realise that the anxiety was as prevalent as it appears to be. I'm a mother of a 15-year-old boy, says Pam, who also suffers anxiety. It's tough, as there's nothing worse than seeing your child in crisis and feeling helpless and often hopeless. And what I found useful is to start by driving into the school, then the car park, then try a phased return by trying to get him inside the door for school, from then the first class with you promising to collect him and keep on that track and get it up to two classes. And sometimes a child feels just too overwhelmed by the thoughts of a full day. So break it down bit by bit. I've walked this road, says Pam, but I know you're not alone and do know you're not alone and it'll get better. I'll also ask the school psychologist or play therapy that can also help. Okay, I know some schools do a really clever thing as well. I don't know if it's a transition year thing or not, but instead of, you know, some kids aren't interested in the basketball or the hockey or the GAA, and some schools will do a yoga class instead, or, you know, a mindfulness, whatever. That's a really cool thing to do for the kids who just aren't into getting into the gear, running up and down the field. They do want to take part in something. That's a real smart thing. Sneem looked wonderful as usual on the De Gaulle programme, says Tim, a very proud Sneem man living in Mayo. So, and in brackets, Mayo for Sam 2020. Well, tell you what, don't rule anything out in 2020. Okay, Mayo for Sam. Okay, I'm beginning to get a little less sceptical about that proposition, to be quite honest with you. But De Gaulle, that programme was so interesting, and how he went to Kerry and he's just, he got just basically booted out by the French people. He didn't know where to go. He was this legend of a hero, war hero and everything else in France. And he decided to come to Ireland and he started to write his memoirs here. And sure enough, he started in Steam. But then the journos were at him and at him and at him. And he said, right, we're out of here. And he went and hid in the middle of Connemara, in the middle of nowhere. Beautiful castle house. I'm a regular there. And it's so beautiful. I can see why. There's a De Gaulle seat that overlooks the bay. And it's gorgeous. But yeah, it was his great-grandfather's people were McCartans from Down. And he wanted to go to Northern Ireland to say hello, but the troubles were kicked off at that point. But he didn't know, it was Irish blood. And part of the reason he wanted to be in Sneem was so he could see Daniel O'Connell's house in Derrynane. Honestly, great programme. That's it. That's Niall Horan, Mullingar's finest. Nice to meet you. Sheila wants to know, who cooks the Christmas dinner in Iceland if everyone's reading all night into Christmas morning? Well, you can keep an eye on it. I mean, the turkey doesn't need to be looked at all day. Lovely idea of reading on Christmas Eve, says Rona, but we're always too busy trying to get the ham, supposed to be for Christmas Day, to eat on Christmas. Anyway, hey, stop negging on the Christmas book story, guys. It's only a suggestion. You don't have to do it. It's a bit of a laugh. But no, I do understand. Christmas Eve and Christmas. Actually, what am I talking about? I understand. I never do anything useful on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day for dinner. I eat it. My daughter's in third class, says a text from Ray. She used to bounce into school now. It's a struggle. That's a shame. If we get her in four days a week, it's a success. She's very anxious and just wants to be at home and doesn't want to go anywhere. This is a theme, I'm sad to say, that is very pronounced on the text this morning after that email I read a little earlier on. So I think we might go somewhere with that tomorrow or the next day. So stick with us for that. Can I say thank you, by the way, to the people behind the RT promo for the toy show? They did an absolutely splendid job on at all levels, from top to bottom and left to right. I got a lovely response to it, but I can't take any credit for it at all. Wasn't my idea. I didn't have anything to do with putting it together, bar a minor appearance. But honestly, they did such a gorgeous job on it. It's very thoughtful, very soulful, and it's exactly where the show is going to be on Friday week. I think Silent Night, as I get older, becomes more beautiful as a piece of music. I think I appreciate it more and more. Initially, when I was little, it was just Silent Night, Holy Night. And then when you hear it right, it's like, oh, if you hear it in German, Stille Nacht, it's for some reason, it's even more beautiful. But I think Holy Night is the win for me. I think that's a beautiful piece of music. Now, that's got nothing to do with anything necessarily. It's just because I heard it in the ad there and I thought I'd just share those thoughts with you before I say goodbye, which is now. Goodbye, everybody. And thank you so much for listening in this morning. Stay tuned for Clare Byrne. Have a wonderful day and we'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.